preacher a text message and said, I need some water in the pulpit. And somebody replied. I'm not sure who replied. Was it Jonathan who replied? You replied. Okay. But Jonathan brought me this little sippy cup. Kim, hold up that cup. Like, what did you? You're trying to insult me. I'm a guest. Just so then they ended up with this. I could use that as a dipper for that. I thank you for the good singing, church. Thank you for bringing the choir over tonight. My goodness. Boy, I sure needed that. That's a blessing. Good to be back here at Gospel Way. I'm grateful to be here, to be in the tent meeting, and looking forward to God doing a good work in our hearts. You know, it'd be easy to look and say, you know, we could do this inside the church building. But I don't know. There's something just a little different that happens underneath the tent. Hearts get a little tuned in. We're kind of out of our element a little bit, and we're starting to focus a little bit more. And so I'm grateful. So grateful that we could be here tonight. I ask you now to take your Bibles, stand with me as we turn, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you're able to stand, I would appreciate it. If not, I understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1. I ask you to follow along as I read. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? Dear Father, I ask you now that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you'll empower me to preach that which you've placed upon my heart. Father, I confess to you, I need your strength, I need your touch, I need your help. And God, if any of these people out here are going to get anything out of what is said tonight, you're going to have to do the work. May their heart be open, may it be receptive. And God, when it gets inside their heart, I pray they won't buck up against you or resist you. And Father, if something offends them, if they'll get just backwards about it, I pray, God, you'll straighten them out.
Amen.
And Father, while it'd be easy to shoot the messenger, I pray, God, they'll study the message. I pray, Father, that they'll be open to what you have. Father, I know you directed me to this message for this night. So whatever you want to bring out, dear God, I pray you'll bring it out. Again, God, I ask you to strengthen me for this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, in life, we get this thing that we have, and we look at it. Let's say tonight, if someone were passing by, and from coming out of town here, and they would pass by, they're accustomed to seeing the church.
That's right.
But then they pass by, and they look over and say, whoa, there's cars there on a Monday night. There's never cars there on Monday night. Oh, look, there's a tent that's back there. Wonder what's going on. What would they describe it as? They'd say, well, they're having a tent meeting. Tonight, I walk back into the break of the woods there, and there was an altar of where men were gathering to pray.
Right.
I kind of looked around and tried to figure out everybody who they were that I didn't know. And I looked at a couple that looked like preacher types to me. I picked them out. I knew who the preacher types were. How do you know? They just got that look to them.
Amen.
You know, it's not, I mean, it wasn't that they were wearing suits or ties or coats, but you just get to look and they say you got that thing about them. I don't know what the thing is, but they got that thing about them. You say, well, they're probably a preacher. And so much it is that in life you can see certain markers and say, I know what that is.
Preaching.
If I took you out to a large, large piece of asphalt out in Charlotte, and on it were huge aircraft, where would you tell me we were? Airport. If I brought you to the new large building where they sell groceries in Kings Mountain, that new one on the backside of 74 there. Ingles. I know it's Ingles, but I'm trying to get you to tell me it's a grocery store. What would I get you to tell me it is? It's a grocery store. Right? You know it by the way you see it. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And he's fixing to describe a church. Now, I know in our midst tonight, I look out and there are probably two or three churches that are represented here tonight in this congregation. So if I refer to a church, I don't want you to think I'm referring just to Gospel Way. Is it First Love?
Yeah.
I might be referring to First Love. I might be referring to any of the churches to which you belong.
Right,
and some of you have hopped churches enough to know to what all the names of the churches are.
Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Preach it.
And so when I look at this passage, I realize Paul is getting ready to describe something in the Word of God. And as he describes it, what he is going to describe is what we need to understand is a carnal church. What is carnal? Carnal, the exact opposite of carnal would be the exact opposite of light. What's the exact opposite of light? Darkness. What's the exact opposite of carnal? Spiritual. You say, now, Brother O'Malley, there is no such thing as a carnal church. Well, you need to wake up.
Right.
We live and worship in carnal churches. And the truth is, we're comfortable with it. We talk a great talk, but as long as that talk stays at the church house and doesn't have to affect my house, oh, you all have dropped off? I'm telling you, ought to just get the choir back up here to back me up and hum a while. Where's Glory Boy? Who was shouting Glory before? Who was doing that? Raise your hand if you were. I may point to you after a while if it gets quiet. All right. But the problem is we've gotten so comfortable in our carnal churches, we have no desire to change. You say, well, now, Brother O'Malley, I don't think I have a carnal church. Well, that's fine. You may not think. I may not think I'm fat either.
Come on,
bro. I might not think I'm bald, but it doesn't mean it's true. You see, that's enough laughing, preacher. Little chuckle along. Keep that thing going is just awful now. You were my friend. No wonder you're so wicked. Paul is describing what a carnal church is. And as long as you'll breathe, I'm going to preach to you about the description of a carnal church. Number one, I want you to see this. Notice with me, in the Word of God, I'm not going to say anything prayerfully. I'll not say anything that's not in God's Word. And if I say something that's not in God's Word, you hold me accountable to it. And if you get offended or you get upset, it rubs your fur the wrong way, you just turn your cat around.
I try. Preaching.
Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. There is a growth that is expected in the believer. You are not to always be at the same place you were when you got saved. I saw there was a lady holding a baby. Where's the little one you had just a minute ago? All right. How old is she? 8 months. 8 months old. Now, who's the mama? You're the mama. Yeah, no wonder you passed her off. Said, here, I need a break. What's your baby's name? Cheyenne. Now, if Cheyenne, I reckon you've taken her to the doctor several times along the way, and one of the things they do at the doctor's office is they weigh babies, don't they? And they'll keep a little chart on there, on Cheyenne, just to make sure she's growing like she should. I want you to know when they took me to the doctor. They said, Mrs. O'Malley, he's doing just fine. Actually, before I was one, the doctor told her, he said, ma'am, he'll be 6'6" tall. He is right. Before I was 1 year old, he knew. I don't know what he saw inside, but he said he's got the capacity to do it. But if you went and took Cheyenne back to the doctor the next time, the doctor said, now that baby's losing weight. What's wrong? or that baby is shrinking, losing height, losing weight. Something's wrong here. They would stop everything and say, let's find out what's wrong with Cheyenne.
Right, you're right.
I mean, in this day and age, they'd look at you as the mama and say, what are you doing wrong?
Right.
I mean, that's the truth. However, why is it not a problem in our churches when we've got believers who've made professions of faith in Christ who haven't done a thing since they've gotten saved? They're all rejoicing in the sweetness of salvation, but never serve God. They want all the precious things. They just don't want to work. They want to shout about eternal security. But then they don't want to do a thing in this world. They believe that church is a spectator sport. We come to watch the preacher work. Let me show you some markers of a carnal church. Paul, first of all, starts with their diet. I hate that word, but I got to use it. Verse 2, look at the diet of a carnal church. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Now, ma'am, what's your name? Cynthia, have you ever taken Cheyenne to go get a steak over at Outback in Gastonia? Well, why not? But you didn't take her to eat a steak, though. No. You might have carried her in there with you, but you didn't take her to eat a steak. I mean, bless her heart, she couldn't even gum it to death. I mean, why don't you take her to get a steak? I mean, it's good stuff, right? Why not? Because she can't handle it. You see, she's on a diet of milk because she's a baby. Paul said the mark of a carnal church is the fact they can't handle meat. They can only handle milk. They're babies. I'm talking about 20-year-old babies. 30-year-old babies. People who get all huffy and puffy when the preaching gets a little hard and it's tough to chew and they can't take it. I'm talking about babies. They don't want to hear any message about the law of God. They only want to hear about the love of God. They only want to hear about the precious things of heaven and not living a pure Christian life. Tell me about the happy stuff. Don't tell me about the holy stuff. Make me feel good. Give me cotton candy, preacher. Don't give me anything on which I'll grow. And the problem is, we have such weak preachers in America today. They cater to the baby carnal churches. And in the catering to them, we get weak baby churches. And because the preacher is afraid to lose his salary, he shapes his message not to offend the brethren, so he can do what he wants to do financially. So we got baby preachers with baby churches and a world that's going to hell. There are people in our churches who have never led someone to Christ. You're a baby. There are people who have never once said, I'm going to dress right, walk right, live right, do right. You're a baby. You're staying back in your little crib saying, Don't expect too much of me. I've only been saved for 30 years.
Come on, preacher. Preach it to him.
You're a carnal church and a carnal member with probably a carnal preacher. You say, well, wait a minute. This is just the first night.
Come on.
If you're carnal, you won't come back tomorrow night.
Come on, brother.
I figure I got one night with you. Might as well make it count.
Preach it.
Amen.
I look at this passage and I see these people. They can't chew on the word of God.
Right. No.
It's okay to be a baby when you're supposed to be a baby. But when you have up the years, grown chronologically, you should have grown spiritually.
Amen.
I mean, just think about your church, whether it's Gospel Way or First Love or wherever you go. Think about how many people in that congregation you are personally responsible for bringing to the house of God, seeing them baptized and grown in the Lord.
Yeah.
I said, no, wait a minute, preacher. You've got this thing all wired up wrong, because that's not the way it goes at our church. You see, at our church, we pay the preacher to do that.
Come on, brother. Preach it.
Said, well, what are we paying for if it's not to build the church? What does the bell ringing mean? You had enough? You can't take this. You can leave any time. Yeah. Problem is, we've gone into that mode. Preacher's here to build the church. I'm here to give when I feel like it. Come when I want to. And do what makes me feel good. The truth is, the man of God is here to equip you to go out and reach a heathen world for Christ. But the problem is, you're carnal. And when you're carnal, there's no way you're going to reach carnal people. So you just want to make yourself feel good. So then we do meetings like this to challenge us, but we don't do anything. Well, now see, there you go. You just lost everybody else, John. That was good.
Preach it. Go ahead.
But the truth is that we do these meetings to make us feel good, but you're not going to go out and do anything different than you did before. It's just springtime. Let's have us a meeting.
Come on, brother.
If you were really serious about even half of what you've heard since you've been saved,
preach it. All
right.
Gospel Way Baptist Church would be bursting at the seams.
Right.
All of Cherville would be reached for Christ.
Right.
And we would be busting down doors in Kings Mountain and Shelby.
Preach it. Yeah.
If you only took to heart half of what you heard since you've been saved.
Right.
You say, well, why aren't our young people on fire for God? Look at their mom and daddy. If mom and daddy have the spiritual depth of a thimble, why do we expect our teens to have any deeper walk with Christ? And for you teens who use that as an excuse, you're pretty sorry to do it.
Preach it.
You ought to strive past your mom and dad. If they're carnal and heathen and disobedient to God and mocks the preacher between the Sunday services and the house and eats the preachers for lunch, you ought to rise above that carnality and just be something for God in spite of the mess in which you live. That's just the first point. Carnal. It describes more of our churches than any of us ought to be able to admit, but it does.
That's right.
We have carnal pulpits. We have carnal pews.
Yep.
And it's no wonder we're just not reaching the world for Christ. Because we're babies. We just, okay, here's your bottle. We don't want to offend you. You just be happy right here and we'll change the milk out. Every week you come right back here and you're not happy, we'll give you a pacifier during the week. We're not going to expect you. We don't want you to have to do too much. So we just keep feeding you the little Baba for Bubba. Here we go. All right, drink up. You listen. I'm going to tell you. You listen to some of the mess that is preached in our churches today. And it's just weak, watered down milk. That's all it is. You say, now, preacher, if I started preaching standards and if we started having the rules at our church about how a Christian ought to live and just simply applying the Word of God to our home, Brother O'Malley, we would bust our churches wide open. Give me 5 people who will live holy, then 500 who will live like heathen and call themselves holy. Now, Brother O'Malley, how can we know if we've got a carnal church? Number one, look at the diet of the church. What's the diet like? They can only handle milk. Oh, listen. There'll be some churches, in fact, some people even in here, that very thought of me calling them carnal or baby. Now, let me just draw some parentheses here. I didn't call you carnal or baby. We call it the Bible.
Preach it. Amen.
God's holy word.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Some of you will wave the banner of the King James and never once let the King in your heart to tell you how to live.
Preach it.
The word of God is meat.
That's right.
And all you want is Jesus loves me, this I know.
Yeah.
That's fine to get you started.
Right. Go ahead.
It's good memories to recall later.
Yeah.
But the truth is, the honest to goodness truth is, it's time for you to grow up.
Right.
It's time to put some meat in your diet.
Preach it.
It's time to grow up and have some real growth in your life.
Right. Preach it.
Some of you, the only Bible reading you get is what you hear in church. For some of you, the only godly music you get is in church, and sometimes that's questionable.
Right. Go ahead. Preach it.
The problem is that we're reaching out into the world to grab the music of the world, to bring the youth in. I'm going to tell you, if you'll give away hot dogs this week to get the youth in, next week, what are you going to have to give away? And what's the next week you're going to have to give away? If we're going to use the world's allurements and bait to get the kids in the church houses, we are simply selling out.
Preach it.
Godly music that honors God, praise God for it.
Preach it.
This mess that sounds like Nashville and Hollywood and whatnot, I'm going to tell you, it's wrong. Then you put ungodly people singing godly music. It's a tragedy. I looked at some of these kids tonight going to the altar. I thought about it. I said, now what were they doing that God convicted them of so much so that they had to hit the altar in the midst of the song? Brother Cook said, clearing up the channel.
Right.
Number one, I thank God they belong to a church that made them sensitive enough to listen to the Holy Spirit to say, when you're singing this, and I'm showing you you're wrong, you're a fraud. You're a fraud. Get it right before you give it out. But the bigger tragedy are those who sit in our pews whose hearts are stirred by God and you ignore it because trading off your sin is not worth the comfort of finding God's Spirit in the house of God.
Right.
That's just their diet.
Go ahead,
amen. Amen.
These people, as I look at them, they want to worship in spirit. They just don't want to hear truth.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Amen.
They want to speak love. They just don't want to speak the truth in love. They want to know that there's darkness out there. They just don't want anybody to pull them out of it. They don't want to hear anything about separation. About ready to point to Glory Boy back there, except he's quiet. The diet of a carnal church. No spiritual depth. Don't want to separate. Don't want to live righteously. We want to dress like the world. Have the look of the world. It's as if we are allowing American Idol to tell us what we ought to look like and sing like in our churches. It's as if our singing, it is as if our singing is simply imitating what we see. Now, the rest of you need to buckle up a little close to home. It's as if, it'll come out whether you want it to or not. It is as if we've allowed Bill Gaither's homecoming videos and the Gaither vocal band to, now don't panic on me. It's okay to hit American Idol and not swing close to the house.
Preach it. Preach it.
Go ahead. Amen.
We watch, preacher, you know what I'm talking about. We've allowed these groups, these professional singing groups, who are merely in it for the money, to say, let's dress this way, let's sing this way, let's act this way. Are you getting spit on, honey? I'm sorry. And let's just get the look, and then we'll have the touch of God. The touch of God doesn't come with the look. The touch of God doesn't come with an outfit. The touch of God doesn't come with a bus. The touch of God comes with time with God. We're just talking about the diet. That's all we're talking about. But since you seem like you're done with that point, let me move to the second one. Paul says to the church at Corinth, he said, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you, what's that first thing he lists? Envying. Now, we go from their diet to the next thing we go to is their disposition. These are people who are full of envy. What does envy mean? Envy is somebody who has no joy when others prosper.
Preach it.
You say, Brother O'Malley, that's a sign of a carnal church? Uh-huh.
Preach it.
Sure is.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Paul said, I'm talking to you, and you're carnal babies.
Preach it.
I can tell it by your diet, and I can tell it by your disposition. Their attitude, if you will.
Preach it.
They have no joy when others prosper.
Preach it.
Wednesday night prayer service, when someone's prayer request is answered, they have no joy. When someone gets the position that they once had, they have no joy. When others receive praise, they have no joy. When others press on in the midst of adversity, they have no joy. Say, now, Brother O'Malley, that doesn't happen in our churches. What, did you just join yesterday? It happens in our churches. Well, I used to be in the choir too, but the preacher made me sit down because I wasn't living right. And then he puts her up there, and I know what she used to do.
Yeah, look out there. Preach it.
She may be putting one over on him, but I know better.
Preach it.
Here's what you need to know, ma'am.
Right.
You're carnal.
Yeah.
And you can tell it by your disposition.
Right.
You have envy. somebody is the house of God and used to be a deacon. But because they did wrong, someone else gets to be a deacon. They sit there and get huffy and puffy. Now, in most of our kind of churches, when they lose their position, they just run off to another church. And the pathetic thing about it is that the other churches are so desperate for members, they'll take the refuse and the trash from the last church and take them in and love on them and find out that they've got the same baggage they left with. That's too complicated for you. Buy the tape. Play that back about 4 times and you'll get everything I just said. Show up at the new church and say, "Oh, brother pastor, I'm an ordained deacon at such and such church, and I'm here to be a deacon at your church. Come on, tell you something. Can you handle this? You doing all right? You a deacon?" "No. Just thought I'd ask." The truth is, if you're huffy and puffy and you can't stand staying at one church because the preacher wants to make you grow, don't you think you could just pick up your letter and take it anywhere you want? Your baggage will travel with you. If I were pastor, I wouldn't even take you. I'd run. I tell you, I used to be a Sunday school teacher, but then the preacher sat me down. That used to be my class. I'm not saying anything about her, but that was my class. I used to teach that class over there, but the preacher sat me down, and now he put that fella in. I was here the day he got saved. I saw him get saved, and I saw him just spurt right off there in his Christian growth. You don't expect... You let me preach. I drove all the way over here from Kings Mountain. It was, but I was getting there. He took my big point. It's okay if I bring it up. It's not okay if he brings it up. I'm just messing with you, okay? Say, you know, he's probably not qualified to teach because he hadn't been saved near as long as I have. Well, I used to play the piano, but no. Just because I was living in sin, the preacher made me not do it anymore. Told me I couldn't play the piano if I was living in sin. So he put that Petey fella in there. Sure enough, he's in there and now I'm not. It's a sign of a carnal church when there is envy in the house of God. Now, traveling back to some of these positions for just a moment, let me point this out to you if I may. The likelihood today of a pastor removing someone from a position because of sin is that much. That's why our churches are filled with people who smoke out front on Sundays, who chew tobacco, who are Sunday school teachers and who are deacons, who have no problem with drinking, who have no problem with immorality and having affairs on their wife or their husband. And because we want these heritagely, if you will, they have had these positions because they've had them for such a long time, it would disturb the fiber of the church if we cleaned up the singers in the church, if we cleaned up the Sunday school teachers in the church, if we cleaned up the deacons in the church. Say, who would we have left? Maybe we would have the Holy Spirit. Maybe we'd have some repentant people who'd say, "Oh God, I am so sorry. I've ignored your word for my lifestyle. Problem is, our churches are filled with people who have envy. They sit there. Now, I was going to say this anyway before I saw your arms were crossed. But they sit there with their arms crossed. With crossed brows and crossed eyes. And a crossed wired attitude. And have no joy when others prosper. I've watched it when, and this may sound petty to you, maybe it's just in other churches, not in any of these represented here tonight. Well, I used to sing that part in that song. That was my sign. That was my line in that song. I used to sing that. But no, the new girl comes along and she gets that piece. It's kind of like the preacher said, here's a pot, here's a spoon, go stir, boy. That's envy. And if it hurts, get over it. You say, that offends me. Fix it. If you want to have spiritual churches, then chuck the carnality. Get rid of your envying. Get rid of your baby food diet. Number three. Look in this passage and I see the next one. You're thinking, how many points does he have left? Just hang in there with me. We'll make up some as we go. Your wife gave me a list of your sins, sir, and that's tomorrow night. Paul said, for ye, your face is really red. I'm just kidding. Yeah, but she's wishing. Man, if I had only thought of that. Number three, you can tell them by their diet. You can tell them by their disposition. Number three, you can tell them by their discussions. Notice what the Word of God says. The third thing about them is they strive. What's a striver? That's somebody who is quarrelsome, a debater, a contender. The man of God says, we're headed this way. We're moving the church forward. We're going in this direction. And here is what a striver will do. Did you hear that? Did you hear what Brother Keith said today? He said, we're going to go knock on 1,000 doors in Cleveland County. We're going to deliver tracts to 1,000 homes. Doesn't he know that won't work? Doesn't he realize that that's just a stupid idea? He better know I'm not going out there to do it. He better rest assured I'm not giving any of my money to buy any of those tracts or spend any money on any gas to go knock on any of these heathen doors. And if he does go knock on doors, he better not do it with any colored folk. Quarrelsome, strivers, debaters. You say, well, we're just, that's the way we've always been. I've always been again everything. It's the way I am. You're carnal. Somebody just needs to tell you, you're a baby. Grow up. Say, well, you don't understand. I know a better way. If you know a better way, let God call you to preach.
Preach it. Amen.
Strivers. They're in our churches. We got subtle silver-haired strivers of the female persuasion. Huh?
Preach it.
Well, that's fine for the younger folk, but he better not expect me to do that. Knock on 1,000 doors. What does he think we are, some super church? What does he think we're supposed to care about, the heathen? I got stuff I got to do. I got to go to Walmart. And he's wanting to knock on doors on my Walmart day. Striving. Problem is, it's an acceptable behavior in our churches, and that's why our churches are carnal. I'm not against an opposing opinion if it doesn't disagree with Scripture. I want you to think I'm arrogant. But some of this nonsense that's pulled off as good godly counsel. Just hush your mouth and get in line. Just get behind the man of God. Let God correct him and guide him. It's a shame what happens in our churches. That we allow striving to take place. Our churches are carnal because of our diet, because of our disposition, and because of these silly divisions or debates that take place. Number four. I've only got 22 more points, so just hang in there. Their discussions, you'll know them by their discussions. Number four. You're also going to know them by their dividing, or in other words, their demeanor. What do they say? What does it say in the Scripture? They have envy, they have strife, and they have divisions. Now, these are the kind of people that are not just church splitters, because we've got church splitters that roam from church to church doing their ugly deeds. Oh, you can track them through town. You start on the east side of town, you got Harmony Baptist. You go a little further west and you got New Harmony Baptist. Travel a little further west and you got Unity Baptist. Travel a little further and you got New Unity Baptist. Go a little further, you got Welcome Baptist. Go a little further, you got Welcome All Baptist.
Preach it.
What happened? The unhappy crowd left, started another one, and it was the unhappy crowd. Started another one, it was the unhappy crowd. Instead of some God-called man have enough guts to stand up and say, you're carnal, get right. We have too much politics in our churches. And not enough Scripture in our churches. And so you've got these dividers. When others want to stand, there are those who divide. When others want to serve, you've got those who divide. When you got a work day, you've got those who divide. When you got those who want to worship, you've got those who divide. Constantly breaking off the group into smaller groups, trying to find their own kind of discontented, malcontented people. What has got to change is a people who will say, God, I don't want to be carnal anymore. I look at this passage and I see something else. You can tell it by their diet. You can tell it by their disposition. You can tell it by their discussions. You can tell it by their dividing or their demeanor. And lastly, and this is the point which I really wanted to preach tonight. Everything else has been introductory. You're going to be out before Waffle House closes. I promise.
Preach it.
Now, in thoughts tonight, I thought about going to Chick-fil-A and getting a milkshake tonight after I got done, but I've already decided against that. Number five. Let me give you this last one. This is the point I really wanted to dwell on tonight. He said, ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal? And the last phrase, and walk as men. What is he saying? He said, on top of all that, you're worldly. You're worldly. The problem is that our churches have been worldly so long, we forgot what it's like to be holy at church. There was a time that you could go to the shopping mall or the department store and say, there's a godly lady. There's a godly man. There's a godly teenager. You say, well, that's out in the world. Problem is, you come to church and you can't tell the godly folk from the worldly folk in the house of God. I cannot tell you the times. What is your name, preacher? Brother Buster. Brother Buster, I cannot tell you the times I have been preaching at independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches where I had to dip my head because I couldn't look on the platform because of the shortness of her skirt or the dip in her blouse. Or the tightness of her attire. And be to preach.
Preach it.
And to be right with God.
You're right.
You say, well, where are you going to church? Independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches. But because we've lowered the standard of what is holy to keep the people happy, we let them wear whatever they want to wear. And do whatever they want to do. I remember when make this an equal opportunity offending message. I remember when our boys had to look more like men than they did like they played on both teams. Say, what do you mean play on both teams? I'm a boy, I play on the blue team. If you're a girl, you play on the pink team. You understand what I mean now? But our boys look like fashion models. So much hair product. And you say, well, you're just envious. I understand. But if I had it, I'd be a better steward. But here is our problem. We will laugh away these points and will change nothing about the way we come to church. You say, well, you shouldn't put such high standards out there for the unsaved. I'm not talking about the unsaved tonight. I'm talking about the crowd that says they're in church. I say anybody can come in this tent or in this church. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I can say, I believe I know Brother Keith well enough to say, anybody could come in off the street of this community into the house of God dressed in any manner, willing to come and listen to the preaching of God, searching for an answer, I'd say they'd be welcome at Gospel Way. I'm talking about the sisterin in the church whose tops are too low, whose blouses are too tight, whose skirts, someone should have been honest with them and say, yes, you do look fat in it. I'm not being ugly. I promise you I'm not. I'm just simply saying, if it's too tight, don't wear it to church. Amen. Don't put dirt in the people's minds.
Amen.
Being fat, I can say the word fat. It's okay. I am qualified.
Come on, brother.
But sometimes a lady will say, is this too tight? Someone has to be honest and just say, yes, it is. That's what I mean to say. I meant no offense by what
That's
I said.
Right.
Just merely say.
That's good preaching.
A young man ought to be able to sit in this congregation and listen to the song being sung without that young man's mind exploring places he ought not to be. You say, well, he should get his mind out of the gutter. Ma'am, you shouldn't have opened the doorway. He said, ye walk as men.
Amen.
In other words, carnal.
Yeah.
Precisely worldly. Why is it that we've allowed ourselves to become the worldly crowd when we used to be the God crowd?
Amen. Yeah.
Problem is, we are carnal.
Right.
And God's not pleased. However, we've allowed ourselves to, let me say it this way. We've allowed our pleasure to win out over God's pleasure. You know what I mean when I say that? We would rather please ourselves than worry about whether God's happy. The question before you tonight, the last 30 minutes or longer that I've been preaching tonight, is this. One question. Are you content to be carnal? I'll assure you, God's not content to be carnal. The PD's coming to play. I don't know if you can find a spot at the altar, if you want to just turn around and make your chair an altar, but whatever it is, do business with God tonight, people. Let us say this, are you content to be carnal? You say, Brother O'Malley, if I come forward tonight, folk will think I'm carnal. Too long we've worried about what folk will think. Let us concern ourselves with what God says tonight. Wonder who here tonight would say, God, I don't want to be carnal. I want to be right with you. Why don't you come? Dear Father, I pray the hearts to whom you've spoken, they'll find liberty to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed.